Moments with the Master, Day 8. One of the questions that some people ask themselves over and over after doing something bad is, why did I do that? The Bible calls bad things that we do sin, which means to miss the mark or to fail to live up to the moral standard set for us by God. Some examples of missing the mark are taking something that does not belong to us, using God's name as an oath in a conversation, killing someone, sleeping with someone who is not your spouse, wanting your neighbor's possessions, or failing to tell the truth about someone. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, a man by the name of Job voiced out loud what we may be quietly asking ourselves. In the book that bears his name, Job, chapter 13 and verse 23, he asks, "How many iniquities and sins have I committed? Show me my disobedience and my sin." Job, who was an upright man and proud of the fact that he kept every letter of the law as God had revealed it, dared someone to show him where he had missed the mark. Like Job, some may say that they have never done anything so bad that it would qualify as being sin. But in the Bible, in the New Testament, in a book the Apostle Paul wrote to some Roman Christians, in chapter 3 and verse 23 we read, "For all have sinned and come short of the attributes or the character of God." We might just shrug off this statement by saying, "Well, no one is perfect." Exactly. That is just the point the Apostle Paul is making. Paul explains in chapter 6 and verse 23 of his book to the Romans why sin is such an important topic for everyone. "For the wages of sin is death." Death? But we all die. Yes. But after this life, there is a time of judgment when each person will stand before God to give an account of his or her life. We read about that in the Bible, in the New Testament, in Matthew's book, chapter 25, and verses 41 and 46. "Then shall Jesus say to those on his left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And they shall go away into everlasting punishment.'" Now that is a real problem if all have sinned and the payment for sin is everlasting punishment. How could anyone escape such a dreadful and fearful consequence of sin? The Old Testament book Isaiah, chapter 53 and verses 5 and 6, predict the coming of someone who will give his life willingly in our place to pay for the eternal punishment we deserve for our sins. His perfect, sinless life will be an offering to God for our sin. As a result of this person's sacrifice in our place, we will be considered just or redeemed by God, and will not face an eternity of punishment. The text also says that God will be satisfied by this offering, an offering of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 states, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all." In the Bible, in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 32 and 33, and verses 39 through 43, there is a description of Jesus on the cross, giving his life as the ultimate sacrifice for sin. Luke 23. "Two others, criminals, were also led away to be executed with him. When they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. Then one of the criminals hanging there began to yell insults at him.
"Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us."
But the other answered, rebuking him, saying,
"Don't you even fear God, since you are undergoing the same punishment? We are punished justly because we're getting back what we deserve for the things we did. But this man has done nothing wrong."
Then he said,
"Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
Jesus said to him, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." Which criminal demonstrates your attitude about Jesus dying to pay the penalty for your sins? The criminal who mocked Jesus, or the criminal who asked Jesus to remember him? Just knowing that Jesus Christ died in my place and took the punishment that I deserve is not enough to have my sins forgiven. The Bible says in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that I need to personally accept that sacrifice Jesus made for me. If you confess with your mouth, "Jesus is Lord," and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart, one believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, one confesses, resulting in salvation. Have you ever bowed your head and asked God to forgive you for your sins and accepted the death of Jesus Christ on that cross and his shed blood as the punishment for your sins? God accepted that sacrifice as sufficient to forgive you. Will you accept that sacrifice and be forgiven for your sins? The hymn, "O Sacred Head Now Wounded," a hymn from the 17th century, attempts to describe that scene of Jesus on the cross and find a way to express thanks for that wonderful manifestation of God's love for us. Listen as Vicky sings the message of that hymn.
Sacred head now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded, with thorns thine only crown, how pale thou art with scorn. How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn? What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the